Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Now I know what y'all are thinking. Are those ads I heard at the beginning of this show? Are those ads or those boring ass commercial ads that people just skip through? Yes, they are, guys. The pod is now big enough to have ads in the show. And if you want us to get to a point where we can leave our jobs and do this full time, it has to be done. Has to be done. I know they're boring. I know they can be annoying, but the end goal is to, do this stuff full time. So thank you guys for putting up with
that. End goal?
Well, you're the one that has college debt to pay off. No, that's you. I don't have college debt.
We got a Super Bowl to win.
And we got debt to pay off. We got debt to pay off. And we got goals to meet. And these ads are the start of doing that. But thank you guys for tuning into this show. The podcast wouldn't even gotten to this point without you guys who tune in and listen to us talk nonsense and Eagles football with you guys. So can't appreciate you guys enough for tuning in each and every time we put out one of these shows. If you're new to the show, appreciate you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews. Can't stress enough. Leave those reviews. Rate 5 stars. If you don't like it, rate 5 stars anyway. It does help with the exposure of the show. So thank you guys for doing that. I am your host today, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Steven, who is not as excited to do off-season podcasts throughout the spring and summertime, but he shows up each and every time. And you know how you can pay him back? Go over there and follow him on Twitter and Instagram and leave reviews and include him and say what you got to say about this guy. Steven, the second one in a week. You're not used to doing so many of these. You're like, how much off-season content is there to talk about? You look annoyed to be here, but we're doing it. We're doing it.
If you're going to say these things, man, you got to give some context. You're going to make these people act like I don't care. I love this team, but... I'm going to be honest, man. It is so hard. And when every time I get up on here and we're going to talk about some seventh string wide receiver or something,
hey.
And all I'm thinking about is getting back to the Super Bowl. But I understand these are the things that go
what
into
if you,
it.
What if you were that seventh string wide receiver and nobody was talking about you? You'd be pissed. These guys are probably excited that we're sitting here talking about them potentially getting a roster spot on a team with Super Bowl aspirations. So think of it like that these players deserve our attention. You just want to talk about the A.J. Browns of the world and the Jalen Hurts of the world. And I get it. Because those are the guys that make the big bucks. That is true.
That's just not true. How many of my favorite players are non-like stars on this team?
Kenneth Gainwell, that's your favorite guy? That's your favorite player on the team? Who is your favorite player anyway, as of right now on the roster? I go back and forth a lot.
Well, definitely
Jalen. It has to be Jalen, at this point. Favorite non-Jalen. AJ? I think it's Smitty for me. It really might be Devontae. Slay's up.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say right now. I'll tell you what, Nolan Smith is going to make his way up, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Because
I like Nick Sirianni.
All right, well, you go buy one of those coaching fucking tees and those polos and wear that shit.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
We're wearing them
every day on here when we talk about the seventh string long snapper and the 19th string punt returner. How's that? Dedication.
If somebody could return punts, that'd be nice because we haven't had that shit since Chip Kelly was here. So I would love to talk about a guy.
I want you to come play for me.
Play for you. Play for me. All-American reference for those of you who watch that show. Eagles OTAs are officially underway. They got underway yesterday after the holiday weekend. And since Nick Sirianni has taken over, the Eagles have made it a priority to keep their players safe. And that theme will continue this offseason with the Eagles having just 6 OTA practices instead of the maximum of 10. No live contact is permitted during OTA practices, but the team can hold 7-on-7s, 9-on-9s, and 11 on 11s during these sessions, so you can at least get a good idea of what some form of organized football will look like in these.
Can we play the Chiefs in 7-on-7s?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Why not?
Because it's just Eagle sessions. You want to go to another? Who I forget who the joint practices are this year off the top of my
Let's
head.
Let's do joint 7-on-7s right now.
But I remember they gave the Browns hell last season. I have to look up. It slipped my mind right now.
How about the Miami Dolphins versus Eagles war. Joint practices.
Yeah, that's gonna be a war during the season when they play, because that's gonna be a lot of speed that you're gonna have to keep up with.
I remember Tyreek Hill burnt Darius Slay on one play, and that clip got all over Twitter, and everybody's talking about, oh, Darius Slay's
it's freaking
cooked.
Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
The only thing getting cooked this time of year is what? Hot dogs and hamburgers.
Weekend's over, man. Get over it. Get over it. Is Braxton Berrios on the Dolphins now too? They got speed galore over there. Freaking Jalen Waddle. Yeah, it's gonna be a fucking track meet when they play. I mean, Bradberry and Slay better get them freaking hamstrings ready, because they're gonna have to keep up
they
with those guys.
They put together what the 2020 Eagles were supposed to be. Is it the 2020 Eagles?
When it was Jalen Reagor, Marcus Goodwin, and Marcus Goodwin, the guy who never played a snap for the team because of COVID. And it was supposed to be all those guys, fucking John Hightower, Quez Watkins, all those guys were supposed to be fucking running the 110-meter hurdles. And
do you think we're just going
to
go four verts every play? Like, what
I guess so.
Thinking?
Well, Wentz needed speed at the time. Remember, we were all bitching about we have Alshon and these guys.
Yeah, he needed
to get
mental
some speed.
Mental speed up here, processing speed.
We need to get some speed in here, and they got it all, and none of it worked out, except Quez, who's still around. Obviously, the Eagles are also just one of two teams, along with the Bengals, to not have a mandatory mini camp. So most of these spring workouts are voluntary. And you know who showed up to the one yesterday? Fletcher Cox, who really doesn't like do these voluntary things, but he's doing it this season. He's trying to lead by example. We got all these young guys in here, Jalen Carters, the Nolan Smiths of the world. You're trying to set an example and set the precedent that being here is important, even if it's not mandatory. So very good on that front. So before we get into the, we're going to go through positional battles ahead of OTAs. We got 7 positional battles to go through. But before that, Steven, Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter are impressing coaches early on, and I want to run by you some clips that should have you fired up. So this one, get the gears turning, get the motor running. But this clip was recently from the Nolan Smith appeared on the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long, and the more you like hear this kid talk, the more you realize, like, I know you see pictures of him, he has the glasses on and he seems like soft spoken and a nice guy. And then you hear him say some shit like this and you start to get a feel of how much of a maniac this dude really is. So Chris Long asked him about potentially playing in the cold weather, because he's in Philly now, didn't see a lot of cold weather in Georgia. And this was Nolan Smith's response to playing potentially in the cold weather in the later months.
You didn't play in the cold a lot, did you, in the SEC? Do you mind it?
I don't mind it. I don't care. As long as I get to go out there and hit them up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't really care about none of that shit. Man, you get warm. You get warmer the more you hit people. I tell people that.
Also, everybody else is feeling cold and feeling sorry for themselves. So if you're just like, man, I'm going to speed up, you know, everybody else is slowing down.
Now, I tell people, when you take the elements out of all that stuff and serving people, like, man, guys from Miami that come up here, they going to be like, bro, I don't even know what I got on this plate, but I just know my hand's cold as fuck. And then you got a guy on the other side of me like, I'm about to fuck you up.
Uh-huh, exactly, dude. It's all mindset.
This dude is a psychopath. He's a certified psychopath. Like he said, the more you hit people, the warmer you get. Like he's going to be out there taking souls. Like it is, my God, that guy's going
to
be.
For the people who listened to the last episode, that audio bit, I'm not hating on Desai. Again, I'm not doing that, but that audio bit, I don't know about you, Vic. That one got me amped up.
Yeah, I mean, shit, when you hear stuff like that, you're like, yo, Nolan Smith, I know the knock on him is he's undersized and this and that. But man, when you see the pictures of him from OTAs, this man has veins out the fucking ass up his arms. Like he is shredded to the gills. Like, and he is going to be hitting people, and he's gonna, I know we made a lot about Sean Desai saying his defense wants to be felt. Nolan Smith looks like he's gonna make sure people feel him when he gets his hands on him. And the Nolan Smith as well as Jalen Carter has caught the attention of some of the Eagles veterans. Josh Sweat recently spoke on the both of them. He said they're great. Their work ethic is crazy for both of them. They're professionals. They're here to learn and are improving quickly. They've been on championship teams already. They are about their business. So when you catch the attentions of guys like that, it's also a very good thing. Jason Kelce also was asked recently as on the Greenlight podcast as well by Chris Long about Jalen Carter. Jason Kelce said, I've not seen him enough to say that, like, the, well, they were asking him, like, who does he, like, remind you of, like, as far as NFL comps? Jason Kelce said, I've not seen him enough to say anybody just yet. We just lost a really, really good D-tackle in Javon Hargrave, and we still have Fletcher Cox. He kind of reminds me on some elements of a little bit of both of those guys. He's thick in the lower body the way Hargrave was, but I'm going to be interested to see what his hands feel like. I've only noticed two players' grip strengths in my career. One is Fletcher Cox. The one, oddly enough, is Clay Matthews, and he said Jalen Carter's handshake reminded him of both of those guys. Kelce grip also stated, yeah, grip, like handshakes. Like, you know, you can, when you go shake somebody's hand, it's a nice, firm, strong handshake. Yeah, yeah. Assert dominance right away. He also stated, everything just looks like it moves right with Jalen Carter. He kind of, in some ways, one of the things I learned after watching Jason Peters over and over again, it never looks like he's not in control or in the right body position. In his prime especially, it was just like he was always in balance. It kind of feels that way with Jalen Carter. So, man, when you have Jason Kelce saying those things, I know it's early, and you know you don't have a real feel of like what his conditioning is like or what he's going to be able to do on the field just yet. But that is very encouraging things to hear from guys like Josh Sweat and Jason Kelce, two guys that have been around the team for a little bit here.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, two—I almost said lottery, but two guys who we would say are top. I mean, for Jalen Carter's sake, we said he was the steal of the draft, arguably the best talent coming out of the draft. And Nolan Smith, who a lot of people had going top 15, top 20. So it's just crazy. And then coming into this Eagles situation, too. Culture, man, culture. Let me just go on a rant really quickly, actually. I want to see where you stand on this. As I don't know what you're doing over there.
Are you ready? Yeah, I'm checking my email for work. I'm just looking over to make sure nobody needs me right now. Go ahead.
God, you better hope they don't listen to this. Anyway.
They're good.
culture, man. If there's anything that truly matters in sports, it's culture. Culture is what turned this whole franchise around. And this fan base, for that matter, because this fan base was done. They were done with Carson Wentz. They were done with Howie Roseman. They wanted him gone. They were done, for the most part, with Doug Peterson, who won this franchise its first Super Bowl. They were done. And then just in a couple years, complete culture change. And we're not going to go through the individuals who led the charge. You know who they are. When you look at this Miami Heat, Boston Celtics series, the team with the better culture won. The Celtics are far and away a better basketball team from a talent standpoint. They should have swept the Miami Heat. But culture is what won the Miami Heat that series. Well, tell you what, man.
Is this the year we're finally buying into like Heat culture being a real thing?
Oh, yeah. It's done. It's cemented. Everybody just look, they have the most fair weather fans in the world. I don't even know what kind of fan base that is. I don't know how to describe Miami Heat fans, but it doesn't matter. That organization, the Miami Heat culture is a real thing. And Philadelphia Eagles culture is a real thing now too. 1,000%. And it's crazy because it is such a thing. Obviously, only time will tell. We'll see how these players pan out. But you see how they're acting. They're all dogs, literally Georgia Bulldogs, but they have the dog mentality. You know what I mean? Like this is a thing, you know? And
have we trademarked dog mentality yet? Have the Eagles trademarked that? Because I'm sure Miami's probably going to trademark Heat culture at this point. But it's right though. Like we said it enough times during leading up to the draft that this is one of the ideal fits for guys like Jalen Carter. Their well-established culture of winning and accountability and things like that. It's really tough for players to come here and not succeed unless you just don't want it like upstairs. Unless you just don't want it mentally. And I know that Jalen Carter's been through a lot and everything that's going on. But when you come into a place like this, you can't help but, you know, be determined to try and be better in all facets of life. So that's a good point that you made as far as the Eagles and these young guys that are coming in and trying to make an impact right away. So with that, we move into one more Nolan Smith clip I actually had. So there's a clip going around that when Howie called Nolan Smith on draft day to let him know that he was selected, of course, they passed the phone around to Sirianni and to Sean Desai. Nolan Smith gets on the phone, speaks to Sean Desai, and this is immediately after being drafted, you know, celebration, none of this. This is what he says immediately to his new defensive coordinator immediately when being drafted.
Hey, Coach Sean, I know you're busy. I'm fired up, but I want that playbook. I want it. I want a PDF. Hey, coach, I want to be on that fucking field. I want to show y'all why y'all should pick me number one. I'm being dead ass serious. I got you, coach. Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
No, hey, let's party. No, like, hey, we gonna turn this up. Like, I want that playbook right now. I've been a member of the Philadelphia Eagles for 30 seconds, and I need to see that playbook because I want to be on that field day freaking one. These Georgia boys are I don't know if it's a running joke that like they're just gonna let the Eagles get these guys, but like how 29 other teams just don't care enough to like look at these guys. Like, it's shocking to me. That this.
It's crazy how much Brandon Graham vibes he gets.
Or 31 other teams, rather. Sorry, 31 you other teams. That? And yeah, I see a lot of people saying that Nolan Smith like is going to like be the Brandon Graham type. Like, he was the vocal leader in Georgia. He was the emotional leader there. And whenever Brandon Graham does leave, like, Nolan Smith is going to be that guy, that voice in the locker room. Surely seems that way. And I like his mindset where your head is at. So hearing these clips, you get a sense that he's a maniac on the field. And he is a very, very well put together. Oh, no.
I'm raising my hand.
Oh, go ahead.
Whatever.
What are you doing?
I got an idea.
Go ahead.
We need to do this. For people that are tuning in, we're about 14 minutes into this podcast episode. As you know, the Philly Pod is under the Liberty Line umbrella, and we sell merchandise, T-shirts, right? Remember the whole Batman gig last year?
Yeah.
You need to include Brandon Graham and Nolan Smith, and we'll touch on a few other guys that apply to this as well. Because, you see, in the Batman universe, obviously there's only one Bruce Wayne, but as time goes on, there's several guys who are built to take on the mantle. You have Robin, you have Nightwing, you have Batman Beyond. We need to include all of this in a T-shirt design. This is a pitch to you, Drew Smith. Do you tune in to the Philly Pod? Whoever's tuning in, make this happen.
We're
going to find out. It's not just offensive players. It's not just fat Batman. It's not just... what are they? Fast Batman, whatever Batman.
Swole Batman, fast Batman, all that shit.
We got edge rusher Batman. We got.
I'll tell you what. All that going on last year as a Spider-Man fan, not a Batman fan. I was really upset that you got a Batman fan. You were screaming all year. This is why Batman's the better superhero. Spider-Man will whoop Batman in a fight. I'll tell you right now. Spider-Man can pull 2 tons just with his webs alone. What does Batman know? Just 63 different types of martial arts. Where's that gonna get you? And he's rich. He's not even a hero. He's just a rich guy who has.
Be done.
Okay. Yeah, I'm done. But Spider-Man will beat down Batman. But good on the Eagles for, you know, wanting to incorporate capes and all that stuff. I remember when Smitty was wearing that thing. That thing was crazy. So very good stuff. They're very excited for Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter. They're making impressions quickly, and the veterans are taking notice. And I expect that to translate to the field as well. So now we move on to the positional battles we are going to have an eye on throughout OTAs and training camp. We have 7 of them, first of which is safety, because Reed Blankenship, Terrell Edmonds, and Sidney Brown would probably be a combination of those three that will compete for starting spots after losing Marcus Epps and CJ Gardner-Johnson in free agency. Unless Buda Baker's in the mix, I don't expect it, but hey, if they swing it, you know, Howie's known for making big swings in August. We'll see if that's one of them, especially at safety, as he got Gardner-Johnson last year with like 10 days before the season. But Edmonds was brought in on a 1-year deal and brings the most experience. He played 5 years in Pittsburgh, started 75 of a possible 79 games while totaling 410 combined tackles, 5 sacks, and 5 interceptions. And for those of you wondering, like, kind of the drop-off between Terrell Edmonds and Gardner-Johnson via PFF, again, for those of you that put stock into these stats, Edmonds' overall PFF grade last year was 69.1. Gardner-Johnson was 63.9. As far as run defense, Terrell Edmonds 63.4, Gardner-Johnson 57.2. Pass rushing, 77.2 for Edmonds, 66.1 for Gardner-Johnson. And coverage grades, Terrell Edmonds was a 68.0, Gardner-Johnson was a 64.2. Terrell Edmonds logged 322 snaps in the box, 254 at free safety, and 195 in the slot. Played all over and missed just 7.9% of his tackles, whereas Gardner-Johnson missed 14.1%. We know he wasn't a great tackler. These numbers prove that. And then you go to Reed Blankenship, who as an undrafted rookie stepped in for Gardner-Johnson when he had that lacerated kidney. He played in 45% of the defensive snaps for Philadelphia last season. And Sidney Brown, who had 6 interceptions and 7 passes defended in his final year in college last year, was taken in the 3rd round and maybe could help replace some of the playmaking that Gardner-Johnson had with those 6 interceptions. So, Steven, take all of that into account. How would you prefer the the safety room to check out. Do you want another body in here? Are you happy with any combination of these three? I saw you kind of roll your eyes when I mentioned the name. So what is on your mind?
Well, I want to be a fan of Sidney Brown.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I keep forgetting you're not a big.
No.
Not
don't
sold
do
on
this
guy. Not sold on him. Not sold on
I
him.
I have a blank play. Slate. And I haven't decided yet. I have a blank piece of paper in front of me, and I haven't decided yet what I'm going to write down on it. And it's up for him.
Is that why you have that pen in your hand right there?
Yes.
Trying to write.
Yes. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this actually for several years now. They need to develop a safety. We thought Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was, you know, going to be that guy.
They tried.
Long term.
They certainly tried.
He's a weirdo. Not sure. Still don't get that situation. I really don't. Why? Like, you know the Eagles are doing something right, by the way. I don't want to get... I'm sorry I get off topic so much. But, like, you know the Eagles are doing something right when the people who depart are so salty and odd in their behavior. And you look at Jonathan Gannon, prime example, mm-hmm. and the situation he's in. And you look mm-hmm. at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I'm sure there's probably other examples.
There's a few. Did I ever tell you or show you the DM their agency sent me when I had, like, got a hold of the numbers? And I tweeted them out of, like, the original offer and then what his new offer was when he came, you know, crawling back and looked for that new deal after he turned down the Eagles one. And I put out that. And the agency tweeted me and was like, I forget what the exact words were. I would have to go back and find it. But he was like, the truth, or, like, we'll see what the truth really is, or something like that. I have to go back. I have to see if I can find it. Where is it? It might be my request. Hold on. Sit tight. Universal Sports Management. My tweet was, hearing the Eagles' max offer to Gardner-Johnson at the start of free agency was a multi-year deal worth roughly $12 million a year. He declined, looked elsewhere, eventually signed with Detroit for $8 million. Universal Sports Management, Gardner-Johnson's agency, DM'd me, responding to that tweet and saying, false narrative, but we will keep facts to ourselves. And then they went to, like, tweet out, like, all the details of the contract and said, which one would you choose? Like, looking for validation from Twitter of all things. So, yeah, not a good look for Gardner-Johnson. But, that was super off topic. But go ahead. You had mentioned it, and I had just remembered that. So, yeah, go ahead. They look to develop a safety, and this is where we're at.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, look, like, yeah, Sidney Brown obviously needs to be that guy if he's thrown into the fire right away. Or maybe he earns the opportunity, right? Maybe he earns the opportunity to be thrown into the fire right away. Then I guess we're going to have to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. But you know, let's not kid ourselves. This is the weak link of the defense, man.
Are you sure it's not linebacker? Because we'll talk about the linebackers in a second. That might be the weak link, unless, like, I know we're all expecting Nakobe to take this, like, crazy leap in year two, but other than that, it's
Nicholas
Morrow.
Been a pro for a year at the very least.
Yeah, that's so is Reed Blankenship, though. So is Reed Blankenship. He's been, and he actually played, like, substantial snaps and playoffs and everything. So I mean, and when you got Bradbury and Slay and this kind of defensive line in front of you, you can put me and you back there at the safeties and still be okay. So I think this is why they don't necessarily I think this is why they feel fine with Edmonds. And Edmonds was good last year for the Steelers, and the Steelers seem like they're really
good. Yeah,
I'm
not saying it's a disaster. I'm just pointing out that it's probably arguably
the weakest
of the
position.
Defense.
I get you. I'm intrigued to
and
see.
And to be
how
fair, I don't know how to evaluate the Eagles linebacker spot, by the way, because they have, like, several guys who are gonna be, like, hybrid players anyway, which I still don't understand.
You got seven edges, you got seven off ball linebackers. Next week we'll get on here and talk about five off ball linebackers that could potentially help the Eagles either via trade or free agency. So that'll be coming up on the pod as well. So make sure you guys stay subscribed for that. But I'm intrigued to see whatever combination they'll roll with. They'll probably end up playing all three. To a degree, I think Sidney Brown will be a box kind of thing. He'll play closer to the line of scrimmage. They'll try to use him there, get him acclimated to the defense, and have Terrell Edmonds, who has the most experience, and Reed Blankenship, who has the most experience with his defense specifically, back there and get things going for them. So very intrigued to see how that all shakes out.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Next position we'll keep an eye on is running back, Steven. Your boy Kenneth Gainwell was the clear number two last season behind Miles Sanders until the playoffs, that is, where he rushed for 181 yards on 33 attempts, leading the team in rushing in the postseason ahead of both Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders. So you got that going for him. And then you got Rashad Penny, who's here on a one-year deal, out to prove he can remain healthy for an entire season and should be the favorite to carry the ball, in my opinion, on the first two downs. You know, first down, second down, I think Rashad Penny is going to be your bruising back, get in there and get some tough yards on first and second down. In 11 starts over the last two seasons, we know the injury woes, we knew all that, but when he was healthy in the 11 starts over the last two seasons, Penny has rushed for 1,036 yards and 8 touchdowns on just 151 attempts. That is 6.8 yards per carry as a starter since 2021. Then you factor in DeAndre Swift as the home run threat, who's one of the fastest runners in the league when healthy. That's a mean trio you got there. We're going to have to see if they roll with either Gainwell or Swift as the third down pass catching back, because they both, you know, catch the ball fairly well. We're going to see how that all shakes out. Then you got Trey Sermon, who, you know, the Eagles, they have 6 running backs on the roster right now, and you bring back Boston Scott on another one-year deal. I don't know where Sermon fits into it. I think Sermon, you know, despite his connections to Jalen Hurts, we joked about it last episode, but you got Trey Sermon, you got Kennedy Brooks still hanging around. They're probably going to fight for a practice squad spot between those two. We'll see how that all goes out. But yeah, what's your take on this position battle, and why? What are you cringing
Wait,
at?
Did you say Boston Scott?
No, I said Sermon and Kennedy Brooks will vie for a practice squad
spot. We're talking
spot.
Bottom of the barrel. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
God,
I'm just telling you who's on the roster, man. This is what OTAs is about. I'm just telling you.
It better
on
be Trey about. Sermon. I mean, my God, he actually has.
Hey, I keep saying that one carry for 19 yards last year. Was,
I mean,
looking good against Jacksonville.
I don't know what happened to him, to be fair. I know I kind of just...
Nothing. He just didn't get opportunities. Nothing happened to him.
No. Just in general, his pro career, man. Like, I don't really know what happened with the 49ers. Like, I don't
really
know.
Yeah, they didn't play him. They had guys like Elijah Mitchell and guys that got snaps over him. But yeah, who's RB1 in your mind? How's this top three going to shake out? We at least know that Swift, Penny, and Gainwell. Or is it just going to be whoever's healthy and whoever's the hot hand? That's who we're rolling with.
Well, if you want to get back to the Super Bowl, RB1 certainly can't be Jalen Hurts again.
Yeah, preferably season. Not. It's not now that he's worth $250 million. No thanks.
The most talented running back on the roster is DeAndre Swift.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Saying Rashad Penny's going to lead the team in carries, perhaps.
I would say,
I mean,
so.
Look, if we are anything close to that team we saw last year, which, my God, what a fun ride it was. And this team, on paper, has more talent, we would say, than the team last year. We're going to be up a lot. We're going to be managing leads, I would hope, I would imagine, in the second half. And that means a heavy dose of Rashad Penny. And hopefully he can stay healthy. That's been the knock. Same with DeAndre Swift.
Mm-hmm. That's why you signed both of them, because they both can't be hurt at the same time. Or can they?
The nature of the position. And, like, really quickly, man, this is where Kenny G comes into play, by the way, because I feel like he's been relatively healthy. Like, if that is the concern, then, hey, you got him. What a great back to have. He led the team in yards in the playoffs, as you said, the most important time of the year. How many times are we going to discount this man? He keeps proving himself.
I'm not saying
he should be running back one.
We watched Miles Sanders get benched in the Super Bowl. That's
like, come on, man. Miles is far and away a more talented player, but there's just something about Kenny G, the way he was running.
Maybe it's
he
fresh
just
legs.
Had juice to him, man.
Maybe it's
he
fresh
had
legs.
Juice to him.
Fresh legs, maybe. Maybe they were definitely.
Stop discounting this man. Like,
who are you
it.
Talking to? Don't I discount him?
No, there's like people saying this running back room is so like
oh.
so flooded? Is that the word? What's the word? It's so deep.
Crowded?
That, like,
crowded
is the word. There's like people trying to say like, hey, maybe Boston Scott can rival him. And it's like, no. If Boston Scott is rivaling him for snaps, we have a problem.
Boston Scott was brought here just for the strictly the two games against the Giants. That's the only reason he was brought back. So that is understood to this point. But yes, Penny, if he could stay upright behind this line of scrimmage, shit, if he's healthy for fucking 13 games, he'll lead the league in rushing. That's where I'm at. That guy's super talented.
We're not asking him to be running back one. I mean, hey, at the end of the day, the Eagles want to pass the football. So the fact that they're able to put this together is pretty great.
Exactly. And hey, if you want to bubble wrap him until the postseason, I'm about that too.
I'm fine with that. They should bubble wrap Jalen Hurts running plays until the postseason.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's worth a lot of money now, so can't be getting banged
up.
Which,
by the way, he looks a little bit leaner. I don't know if you guys saw
everybody does. Have you seen the picture of Jordan Davis? That man looks leaner too. This defensive line is
about nuts. What does that mean here? Like, what does that mean?
Is that they eat well? What do you mean? They fucking are on a diet.
I think Jalen lost weight.
I think they all lost weight, but that's what you do when you work out. And Jalen leads by example, so if he's doing it, the rest of the team is doing it.
So I almost wonder, is he going to go on a bulk here in a couple weeks? Because, man, he, you know.
Hey, Devontae Smith looks like he put on a little weight, too.
Really?
OTS. Yeah, he was looking a little bulker, too. Year 3 Smitty, big body. Big body. Excited to
see
that.
What would you do if you just had a transformation and he just was, like, yoked when you're, like, shredded? Like, remember the transformation Giannis had? Giannis was, like, pencil thin coming into the league.
Yeah, and that's what ground beef and rice, meal prepping does for you. So that must be all they're eating over there. Linebackers, the next position that you say safety is the weakest. I would argue that it is linebacker. You have N'Kobe Dean here, who we're all praying to God that he can take this next step and lead by example, because TJ Edwards and Kaiser White are no longer here. Dean flashed in a limited role last season. He only played in 34% of the snaps. He recorded just 13 combined tackles and one tackle for a loss. But he did rank second on the team with 7 special teams tackles, so could be in line for a breakout season when given the opportunity. Then you have Nicholas Moreau, who was brought in on a 1-year deal from Chicago. After spending 4 seasons with the Raiders, he had a productive year in 2022, recording 116 tackles, 11 for loss, 2 passes defended, and an interception, and also played in every single defensive snap last season. Marcus Epps was our Iron Man last season. It looks like Nicholas Morrow has the potential to be that for Philadelphia this year. Now, his pass coverage might be the issue. He allowed 101.8 passer rating when targeted. So you kind of need a lot in coverage, but that's where N'Kobe Dean excels. So maybe they can complement each other in that regard.
About time we get a linebacker that can do that, by the way.
Yeah,
or at least has
Christian,
potential to
also
do that.
Have Christian Ellis on the roster, but I would be shocked if the Eagles did not bring another body in here during the summer at some point. I think they need someone else. So how do you feel about the linebackers in its current state? You feel good about N'Kobe Dean and Nicholas Moreau? Are you just praying to God that the Band-Aids will hold up for a year and they'll figure it out?
Well, again, like safety, they need a young developmental player at that position, which correct. So I like that. And I think he should play way more snaps this year. But yeah, maybe they should probably bring in a veteran, somebody with more experience to hold down that position group. I missed what you said. How many years did Morrow sign?
Just one year deal. That's
all. Inevitable. The inevitable of
that's
a
all
Howie
does.
Listen. The unwritten rules of a Howie Roseman offseason. One draft day splash move trade. 1 year deals for positions that they do not really value. That is inevitable. It's going to happen.
Hey, look at safety, look at linebacker, and look at running back. All those players on 1 year deals.
We'll see how these guys perform, but they've always been like pretty decent players too, which is the crazy thing. Think about it. They've been decent players that they signed. Wasn't Nigel Bradham, if we're going way back, I think Nigel Bradham was on one. Who am I missing here? I'm not going to talk about the other linebacker.
How long was Michael Bennett here? Was that 1 year? He was pretty good. How many years was he here? Was that 1 or 2 years? He was pretty
edge
solid.
Rusher.
Yeah, true that. But just in general, the 1 year deals.
About the safeties,
finds.
Anthony Harris.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
So yeah, safety, linebacker, running backs are 1 year deal specials in Philadelphia. So Nicholas Moreau.
What else? The other unwritten rule of a Howie, and this ties into what you just said. The other unwritten rule of a Howie Roseman offseason is a move. I'm just saying a move. Maybe it's a trade or signing. Very close. Maybe uncomfortably close to when the season starts, bringing in a pretty nice piece at a very close time to when kickoff begins.
Yeah, maybe
that is true. Think about the players, man.
Remember when they traded Bradford to the Vikings when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt and they panicked and sent Bradford to the Vikings for a first-round pick and Wentz was the starter? Like, hey, 6 days before the season, here you go.
Or Carson maybe Wentz. It's an in-season trade. Jay Ajayi.
Jay Ajayi type.
Golden Tate didn't really do anything here.
Jannard Avery.
All right.
Remember, who was the guy that was like, yo, a big splash mood for the Eagles is coming on Twitter? Oh, I was so fucking mad. Jannard Avery.
Yo, I was late to one of my college lectures for that, too, by like 15 minutes, because I was sitting in my car just spamming refresh on Twitter, and I'm like, big splash mood? Who is it?
And it was Jannard Avery, yo. I'm so upset that was the case. What the hell is this? But yes, like linebacker, we expect a move there. Right now, Morrow and Dean are slated as the starters. We'll see how that plays out in OTAs. Wide receiver 3. Out goes Zach Pascal. We've already talked about Quez's struggles. We're not going to continue to beat a dead horse in that regard. Alamide Zaccheaus is now here, who was coming off a career year in Atlanta. Caught 40 passes last year, 553 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
And a pretty inefficient offense, you know, Atlanta with that Marcus Mariota / Desmond Ridder led offense, you know, wasn't going anywhere through the air. That's for sure. Hence why Kyle Pitts and Drake London are lost in the fold right now. So we'll see if they can get back on track. In 2023, Zaccheaus had just one drop last season. Would have been nice if he was in there to hold on to.
You're telling me all he had to do was play Quez Watkins snaps, we win the Super Bowl.
potentially. Just one drop last season. He played in 60.9% of the snaps out of the slot in 2023. But after the signing, Howie Roseman did say that nobody in this building is down on Quez Watkins. I don't know if he's lying. I don't know if that's the true sentiment. You can't feel particularly great watching the film, but they don't want to give up on
they
him
did
yet.
Need a Zach Pascal replacement. The wide receiver 3 spot, I think, is going to be a combination of like your 3 and 4 receiver anyway. And it's cool that they're usually different skill sets. So,
Are you cool with it? Like, I know last few episodes you talked about Julio and DeSean Jackson and DeAndre Hopkins as the pipe dream. You know, not necessary as the kind of luxury move. Last episode, but if AJ and or Devonta go down for an extended amount of time, are you cool with like the way this depth is lined up, or how do you feel about that?
No, not at all. That's
you got Tyree Cleveland,
man.
You got Tyree Cleveland on the roster. You got Joseph Nada. You got Charleston Rambo. You got some kids. Is Deion Kane around, the superstar from last preseason? What's he up to? What's Deion Kane doing these days? You got Devin Allen. He's still around.
I would be interested to see. God, fingers crossed, you know, jinx, you know, I'm knocking on wood here. I'm praying for a healthy season, right, for these players. But I would be interested to see, Quez, like, you know, put your money where your mouth is. You know, maybe there's a week where AJ or Devontae's out and he bumps up a spot. Let's see what you got. Let's see what he's got. You know what I mean? All right, let's see it then.
I'm a fan of a bounce back Quez, tour Quez. We don't hate Quez.
I'm just saying, if you can get DeAndre Hopkins, I mean,
there was a very bad spot / did that Washington fumble, the Cowboys game, like I said, we don't want to beat a dead horse and just bash
also
on Quez.
Great spots, and we'll say it till the sun goes down. Like he was a 7th round pick or whatever he was. So like they got more value.
He had that
out
touchdown against the Packers, that nice little pass from Hurts at the corner at the pylon. He had
that nice touchdown
the Packers. That's beautiful. Yeah. And
he has deep moments like that where you're like, what on earth?
He had the deep one for the Vikings. So he definitely can be utilized. We saw flashes.
Well, there was nobody within.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was
a basketball
hard to miss.
Court guarding him on that play. I mean, he just burnt. I don't know what happened on that play.
Yeah, he busted coverage. All right, he is fast. So we'll see. If Quez can go on his revenge tour that he's saying, he is doing the social media route saying, I'm going to make y'all eat every word. That's what he said on Twitter. Let's hope he's not going the Jalen Reagor social media route because that got dark. Got very dark. Next, we have backup cornerback.
Really quickly before you get there.
What's up?
I'm just here with the fucking microphone in front of me talking about this football team. So, like, I really don't matter for being honest. Ouch. My foot just started cramping. What's going on?
Did you get nervous? What you about to say?
Yo, take over. My foot's cramping. Oh my God. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I got to mute this.
Yo, what did you do? I don't know what he's over there crying about, but we got backup cornerback next. Yo, he's going through it over there, red in the face.
All right, I'm good.
What were you about to say? What's
the? I don't know. It must be the Lord or whoever you guys believe in. I won't go down that road, but it's trying to tell me or warn me or something. Dude, that was the worst foot cramp I had in a while. I feel like my whole...
You're about to say something off the fucking wall. God was like, don't say that.
Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I just got punished for saying I'm just a guy with a microphone. Maybe I can be more. Anyway.
All right. So...
Like, this Eagles offense, like, I really don't have any complaints with it. Because I think it's, like, from a personnel standpoint, holy shit. And from, you know, a production standpoint and even scheme, I can't complain too much. But a part of me does wonder, like, man, like, I don't know if it could be Quez, maybe AJ Brown, or maybe they bring in somebody. But, like, man, I'd got to think with all the different ways they can beat defenses, like, there's got to be a gadget guy on the team, like what Jalen Reagor was supposed to be. And maybe that could be Quez Watkins. Like, why can't Quez be that guy? Like, I'm just saying, maybe one or two times a game, the threat of a Quez Watkins end around sweep, get him in motion. Or maybe that's just not his game. Is that not Quez's game? Like, I don't know.
Didn't they try that in the Titans game? And then he literally got hurt and he played the rest of the season with the injury last year.
I didn't know that. He's just not built. That
he's well, I mean, he got tackled on a weird thing. I remember at the end of the year afterwards, he got hurt in the he said he suffered an AC joint sprain versus the Titans after the season was over. So Quez was playing through an injury for much of the year, and it was on some triple jet motion end around. It was some weird shit series.
Did he pick up good yardage? I don't even remember this play.
I don't. I think he got a first down. I don't remember. I think they did. He didn't get tackled in the backfield, but he got hurt on that play. And his AC, his shoulder was hurt for the rest of the year.
He's the one who should have been bulking up this offseason. This guy can't take any hits.
Maybe he is. We don't know. All we know is the OTA clips the Eagles are giving us every day trying to sell us that Quez Watkins is going to be okay. So that's all. That's all we got. I will say this. I know
my foot's okay, by the way, for everybody listening. I'm all right.
Oh, yeah. Glad you made it. Glad you made it. I know we don't want to limit Devontae to the slot, but if he was strictly a slot receiver, my God, he would kill everybody. His ability to create separation and the footwork, he would eat everybody's lunch straight out of the slot. You would never in your life do it, but if you ever did, that shit, man. Okay, good luck to the nickel cornerbacks. And speaking of cornerbacks.
Well, oh, if no, Hopkins comes in here, it gets interesting.
Yeah, well.
What?
Don't get used to that idea. but with cornerbacks, James Bradbury, Darius Slay, Vontae Maddox are obviously entrenched as your top three guys in the starting lineup moving forward. But beyond that, you know, you have Darius Slay, who's 32, Bradbury, who's pushing 30 himself. If one of them get hurt, who's the next one up? Is it Zeke McPherson, who was named Special Teams Player of the Week last year after week one. Do you remember the play why he was named that Special Teams Player of the Week? I'm going to try your memory here.
It wasn't probably a turnover, don't. Was it?
No, it was. So after the Lions scored and the Eagles were up 31-21 in the third quarter in the Lions game, they tried an onside kick and Zeke McPherson recovered it and saved that little scare we had just, you know, in week one when they were making that run to come back. So McPherson was pretty good on special teams. And then he's probably going to battle Greedy Williams. Maybe Keely Ringo gets in the mix, but I doubt it. He'll probably be developmental in that regard. But Greedy Williams, 80 snaps as a rookie while making a career-high 12 starts. He missed the 2020 season with an injury, but in 2021, he had 2 interceptions and 41 combined tackles while making 8 starts. So you got Greedy, you got Zeke McPherson, my guy Zeke McPherson, who I'm waiting for him to get his opportunity. I think he can play, but I am really intrigued with the prospect of Greedy Williams, seeing what he can do. He's also here on a 1-year deal, and I like what he brings to the table as well. So what do you make of the cornerbacks? You got a lot of them. Josh Jobe, Eli Ricks, Mario Goodrich is still around. You got a really crowded CB room now. When once upon a time you were crying for young depth there. Well, so what's your perception of the cornerback room as of this moment?
I feel like if there was any situation for Greedy Williams to figure out, who I was a big fan of coming out of college, by the way.
I think we all were. We saw that name and we were hyped.
You know, I like my long outside corners. You know what I mean? That's, that's
Eli.
Formula.
That's Eli Ricks for you. That man has fucking rubber band arms. That guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the other. It does worry me, man. Like, I guess if you just look at the back end of the defense, there's like, we talk about if one of the receivers goes down. I mean, shit. If one of these corners goes down, you don't feel great about it. And I'm not just saying for now. Like, we're talking about the future. At least, like, with the wide receivers, like AJ and Devontae, those guys are young.
Yeah, yep.
Not even really in their prime yet, entering their prime, I would say. Mm-hmm. But, man.
There's only one cornerback. I think last year he was, like, 32 and older who played significant snaps, and I think it was Patrick Peterson. And the Eagles are looking at Darius Slay to kind of do that, who we will say once again, who was How do I put it nicely?
Be careful what you say.
I don't want to say decline, but he like slowed up at the end of the year. He slowed up at the end of the season, was getting beat a little bit. So like Bradbury was the better corner for the second half of the season, if you ask me. So yeah, it's a good problem
to have if you're second.
It's very
corner.
Good, and they still led the way for the number one pass defense in the NFL last year. So we're just hoping they stay healthy. If not, I do like McPherson. I do like Greedy. We'll see how it shakes out in OTAs, and of course you have Kelee Ringo in the mix, who was there as well. So depth is never an issue. Let's just hope the top guys can stay healthy so that we don't have to see it.
Well, hold up.
Right,
isn't
away.
Ringo a guy who could be moved around anyway? Like, are we sure he's a corner?
Yes. Well, I am for now. I mean, I wouldn't move him to safety unless he fails.
Oh my God. Avante Maddox, who's literally the definition of a slot corner, was moved to safety at one point. Think about that.
But I hate the premise of let's move a good player to another position and hope he's a good player. Like, just keep him at his position. Like, I hate the whole premise.
Who said he's a good player?
Who, Avante?
Oh, I thought you were speaking for Ringo.
The people that want to move Avante to safety, like, why would you move a guy who sells his position to another team? Ringo, we'll see. He projects well to safety. He has the traits for it, but I wouldn't go right away and say, hey, go to safety since we need depth there. I don't think that's the way you go about that. They still got Kayvon hanging around, so we'll see if he makes it through camp as well. Right guard, we all know, we've spoken about this a number of times. Cam Jurgens will get his first look next to Lane Johnson, see how that goes at right guard. Tyler Steen, the second round pick, played both tackle spots in college, and then he also has the versatility to play guard as well. He allowed just 2 sacks in 498 pass blocking snaps last season, and will be nice competition for Jurgens at right guard. So nothing really of note there. We know that's more something you have to watch than can really talk about, something you're going to have to see. Last position battle, the most exciting one in my opinion, punter, because Arn Sipos was another one that contributed to that Super Bowl loss. That like Kadarius Toney returned that shit for 1 million yards and shanked another one, I believe. So undrafted free agent Ty Zettner is now brought in here. He averaged 44.5 yards per attempt last year and was a semifinalist for the Ray Guy Award, which is the award for the nation's top punter in 2022. And he also converted on every PAT attempt, or every point attempt rather, and every field goal attempt last season. So he's also some insurance at place kicker if Jake Elliott goes down for whatever reason. So I'm down for a punter competition. I think if you watched Arn Sipos in the Super Bowl, or really at any point in the season last year, you know that the Eagles could definitely benefit from competition at that spot. So happy to see that there. Steven, you excited about the punter competition? That's where the real story is this summer. Forget everything else.
I mean,
we're watching that
right.
Punter battle.
You might be right. I mean, I was just sitting here as you were talking about that moment from the Super Bowl. You know what it reminded me of?
Oh, I saw you close your eyes in despair. So.
Yeah, it doesn't get talked about enough, that moment in the Super Bowl. That definitely hurt us. What year was that? The year we got to the playoffs with Chip Kelly, Nick Foles is the QB. We played the Saints at home. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, Nick Foles had a scoring drive, I believe, that might have given us the lead or a tie, either mm-hmm. or. Mm-hmm. And a special teams play. A kick return put the Saints in fantastic field goal position. Yeah. And all they had to do was march down, and I believe it might have been a field goal to win the game and end our season.
Yep.
Special teams matters is what I'm saying.
It does. It does.
I know
I'm
sitting here rolling my eyes, but hey, I am glad they're putting the heat, and they should put the fire on Arn Sipos, all right? Or Sipos, yeah. Sorry.
No, it was Sipos. You were right the first time. And essentially, like, now we got the fair catch rule, but it's kickoffs where if you catch it, instead of, because now teams are intentionally kicking the ball short of the end zone to teams that are weak at returning punts. Like, they were kicking the ball to Britton Covey or whoever was returning kicks at the time short of the goal line because they were like, why give him a touchback when we can just tackle him before the 25-yard line because they suck. So that was definitely contributing to that. But yeah, punter competition is very good. Sipos has been asked for a little bit now. So I'm down for any other bodies they bring in here. So that wraps up about all the 7 position battles. We'll have I don't know if Steven's gonna be watching as closely as I will, but we are going to pay attention to throughout this summer. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. Be sure to follow on all pod platforms, wherever you get your shows: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews, rate 5 stars if you enjoy this podcast. You can follow me, Victor Williams, on all social media platforms at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Steven, where they can find you, buddy.
Steven Conrad Jr. on all socials, Instagram, TikTok. If you like some of the crazy shit I say on here, you can find me.
He does say a lot
on those platforms. But definitely check out our Liberty Line YouTube channel, the Philly Sports centered YouTube channel. Obviously, we have our clips over there. You guys are Eagles fans, but I'd imagine you're fans of the other teams as much
as
they
are. Are we excited about Nick Nurse? Nick Nurse?
I am hyped for that. Was the guy I wanted, man.
Let's go. Yeah. Fred VanVleet time. Is Fred coming?
Yeah.
Give me Fred.
Give me OG. I want OG.
Oh, OG. Yes, I'll take OG Anunoby. Hell yeah. Give me a wing, for God's sake. Thank you guys for listening. We will come back here in a couple of days. We'll talk about some linebackers that could potentially help the Eagles, and we'll also talk about some other stuff, whatever else is going on. We'll be sure to keep you guys educated throughout the offseason leading up to the 2023 NFL season. Until next one, guys, we will catch y'all. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.